Coming to you from cities all over the world, produced in Aotearoa, New Zealand, this is the Places for Good podcast. We bring you the designers, planners, and placemakers who shape the shared spaces for tomorrow. From stories of the past to visions for the future, we talk pride of place wherever you are. I'm your host, Boopsie Moran. Welcome to the Real Play City Challenge series. We dedicate episode 2 to places where play unites us all, and the case of Mexico by Fundación Placemaking México. A story of low-cost, high-impact strategy for early childhood across 30 friendly places in Mexico. Our guest here to share some iconic moments from the project is Guillermo Bernal, Executive Director of Fundación Placemaking México and board member of Placemaking X. Please welcome Guillermo.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's so nice to have you, and it feels like your project is across an entire country. So let's just begin with your projects that your network implemented across Mexico.
Well, we started working this year in this amazing new approach to understand public spaces for early childhood in Mexico, where we thought more about the impact than the cost of the projects. So we work with our network of implementers to organize the first 10 small places for early childhood. Our project is called Lugares Amigables para la Primera Infancia, LAPIS. That's the acronym in Spanish that is translated directly as Friendly Places for Early Childhood. And we work on 10 different communities in our country, in 10 different contexts, with 8 different morphologies of places, including safe pedestrian crossing, a school patio, urban garden, rural parks, urban parks, a school for bicycles for caregivers and children, and working also in a natural reserve.
Wow, that's amazing. And so did you need different partners for each area, or did certain real leaders champion all 10?
So we are very, very happy to work with the Mexican network of placemaking. And it's a partnership between organizations in our country, but also governments. We need to work together with local municipalities and organizations to implement these projects. So we partnered around 25 different partners, and a lot of our work do not really implies our team in Mexico City to travel to the places, but to work as a network and implement and generate capacities to our network allies.
I guess that's the beautiful thing about uniting, especially in this topic, right? Because you did that just from the beginning throughout the project. Do you have one particular or a few out of the 10 that really was play oriented as an outcome?
Well, we thought about all by play, and especially focusing on early childhood. But the one that pops my mind first is the one we started the project with, was in Mexico City, was in a school for kids, was being closed for many months after the pandemic, and we invited Placemaking Latin America colleague from Chile, mm-hmm. Sebastian from Otra Ciudad, to help us with this project. We bring different allies. We brought our donors of paint, but also local workforce, their parents and kids, to do this playground in a patio of a school. Wow. It was the patio where kids were waiting their parents, their caregivers, to pick them up. It's in an unprivileged area in Mexico City, and was very gray, very dark. And sometimes kids stay there for hours waiting for their parents to pick them up. So mm-hmm. we need to have something that was very safe for kids to be practically alone for several times, or a friendly place for them to play. So we bring this huge color bubbles, different sizes, different colors, and also bringing this idea of them to know about colors and about shapes and play around. So kids sometimes do not necessarily need this huge playground, but they just need the environment to play. So this was a lighter, quicker, cheaper experiment, and it helps a lot the kids to develop their play abilities.
And did the children feed into the design when you were deciding where goes what and what colors to choose?
Yes, so our 10 first pilot places and the 20 more that are coming this year all are based on participatory design. So we implement workshops with the community. That means children and also their caregivers. So we always go through a participatory process and design. And it's not about necessarily objects that they decide, but their objectives. So that means they are not deciding shape, size, or color, but they are more deciding about feelings and environments. And that, and then we translate that into a design idea.
And how did they feel before there was a play-oriented space? And how did they feel once it was all finished? Could you tell, were there some stories or quotes from the children or the people who experienced the place once it had been, had the magic touch?
Yeah, so I remember very well a little girl in Tlalpan. That this was one of our last of the 10 first pilot lapis we built. This was in a natural reserve in outside Mexico City. It was in a shanty town that has been formalized, and there's a lot of illegal trees being cut by people around there, and the government pick up their wood, their illegal wood they are extracting from the forest. So with that wood, we built the playground for the kids, and it was with local. Local hands, local workforce, but also the design of the kids. And they, I remember this girl telling us, this feels like my home. This feels like a place for me to play and to enjoy with my friends. And specifically this girl feel this more about like her environment rather than bringing this huge playground from somewhere else in her environment.
Yeah, so it was because you're not just physically, you're not just telling what you want. You're also being part of the building, which is an amazing story and part of your process.
Yes, it's about making places for them, with them. And it's about do not only listening the easy things like slides or swings, but listening their understanding their content and listening their stories. Like this one of the illegal wood extracted in that forest.
Yeah, and I think I noticed too, one part of your report said about the compost project. I think it was where a girl was going, taking photos of what she wanted before and what she wanted after. She's had like an imaginary camera, which I thought sometimes you could have a client in an adult, you know, the building world, and they don't have that visual capacity. They just don't have that imagination. And it's such a good way actually to visualize what you hope to see in a space.
Yeah, kids have this capacity of abstracting the reality. And we thought, what a better idea than bringing them a cardboard camera and workshopping with them their ideas and their wishes into the space. So we work on this project in Oaxaca to do this garden with the kids of the Museo Infantil, the Children's Museum of Oaxaca. And this was a fantastic way for them to imagine this empty space with greenery.
Yeah, and so do you have any adults really seeing it and going, wow, I understand now? Because sometimes they must be comfortable with their gray bits because it functions. And so it's hard to convince them the positive benefits of a little bit of color or some kids' perspective or just play, right? So were there adults or elderly or different generations of people that really appreciated your project?
So we work in this project in Guadalajara, one of the biggest cities in Mexico, and they did this huge remodelation of a metro line that went underground, and they kept this huge green space on top of the street, and then there they built a school for bicycles. But they did not, in their original plan, they did not think about early childhood and their caregivers. So we, with this program, we implemented this we bring workshop for kids, bicycles for mothers and children. And this was the place where we realized that mobility and the caregivers and the government itself realized that mobility and thinking about children, how they move in the city, it's also key to understand our contexts and our problems as cities. So in Guadalajara is a place where I think we got the best response from our government, but also like government officials, the mayor itself was there, and also their parents understanding that the capacity of children to move around the city is very important.
Yeah, I did an event here in New Zealand where my proudest moment was when a mom had never ridden and she tried it. Her son had learned at the same moment and she said, maybe I'll try. And they all left on bikes. And I think that when you have that intergenerational, the topic of uniting us all is age and generational too. And so when you think of these projects, where was, so you have the wooden play. Are there any other areas where you really felt the play aspect had a big part of the design or the outcome?
So in Zapopan, around Guadalajara, we also built a park in an area called Miramar. And there we only thought about play rather than infrastructure. There was existing slide and like a typical park, a slide and a swing, but we brought different elements with wood and a climbing wall. We just easily in a online application, we just bought some climbing steps. We put them in a wall, we make a mural, thinking more about play than infrastructure. So this park in Guadalajara with a lot of colors also, it's a great example of how lighter, quicker, cheaper activities, placemaking activities can be done without really thinking about cost, but more about impact.
And so when you're thinking about whether or not you fit in the category of play that unites us all, what are some of the key words that you might expect to have put in the application when you apply for this category?
So I would say, of course, participatory design, community activation, community outreach, drawings, paint, smiles, children, also their caregivers, and also thinking about children not only as the users of the space, but also as the ones who are gonna help keep the space going at the end.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that's so important, is that when you're planning for these spaces in 10 different areas, each one had its own unique aspects. So was there real definitive connection between the 10 projects, or anything interesting that you found as a theme in the data afterwards that you noticed?
So we really understand at the end of the project that it's more about the children and the social incidents that we create, how we can implement projects. It's about thinking about impact than cost. We had a very small budget for these projects. It was not about the budget itself, but was about how we bring together children into and governments into understanding this. And the second way is how to create a local network of implementers. So how we could really relate to our own network, but also how we can build a network of implementers, creating capacities around the country. So it's about more about capacity building than necessarily infrastructure or bringing stuff into play. And the third, I will say, is the how we relate with government, how simple ideas, simple play ideas, not expensive, can create a real impact in mayors and deputies. So we work with mayors and deputies around the country, and how in 4 months we could create this pilot program for 10 places, but also how we will arrive in 20 more at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so is there some learnings that you have between the 10 that you finished and the 20 that you're going towards? that you're applying to this next set?
So, of course, the last wave of COVID stopped us a lot into implementing some our big ideas for workshops. So opening this to a more open call for participatory process between the community, that's our goal. But also understanding this new way of communicating and knowing that a lot of communities, even they are now pushed to their kids to go to school remotely by computer. So bringing this also for our workshops and understanding communities can also work good in this digital environment is good. And we are planning to open a call for proposals and a webinar to also other implementers in around the country so they also get capacity building and then consider them building their own places. We intend as a foundation not to be there implementing the projects, but creating capacities around our network, around our country, so other organizations can also implement these projects later.
Yeah, and seeing how you did 10 in such a short time and you're ready to do 20 more, it shows how replicable and accessible and cost efficient these projects can be. But the outcomes for the participants is huge. So you can really see that. And I think the Real Play City Challenge is looking for inspiring and stimulating examples that show the way forward in providing opportunities for inclusive play in our cities and neighborhoods. And I really think that you created activities that foster inclusivity and help to develop self-esteem or improve social skills, stimulate the mind, combat loneliness, and enable the stronger ties and understanding between different people.
Yeah, so thinking about creating fast places is not about, it's not just an idea of doing a lot, but it's a necessity in our world to change our reality fast. Our world is in the need of public spaces, in the need of participatory processes of democracy, but also about our climate change and problems, and also our world is really moving towards a position we don't want. So doing changes fast, it's not also an idea of efficiency of money wise, but it's also a necessity for our world to do it like this.
I agree. That's a good way to put it. So well, having you here today has been really great. And thank you for sharing with us the importance of play in building more resilient and stronger communities.
Thank you very much for having me. And I will finish with this final phrase. I believe that it's empowering communities the way we need to work towards creating a more sustainable and a more healthier world. So thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, and thank you. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share with a friend. The Real Play City Challenge miniseries aims to shed light at inspiring playful placemaking. If you are an urban practitioner, a placemaker, or a public servant at a city working on playful placemaking, you can apply for the Real Play City Challenge Award today. The Real Play City Challenge is a competition that celebrates and awards inspiring cities and placemakers who create environments that give people time, space, and opportunities to play. The challenge is being organized by the Real Play Coalition together with Placemaking X, and we are now inviting submissions for 2022. For more information, please visit www.realplaycitychallenge.org. Thanks for listening.